A reading from the book of the prophet Joel. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing, offerings and libations for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Proclaim a fast, call an assembly. Gather the people, notify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is our God? Then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. This is the clarion call that has become the staple of the announcement of the beginning of the season of Lent in our church from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2. And it's a call that basically puts in perspective for us what the entire Lenten season calls us to, a return to God. What type of a God? What ought to be the motivation for us to not have apprehension about coming back to God with all our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our souls, with a humble and a contrite disposition, acknowledging our part in the dysfunction of a world gone wrong in sin? While we continue and we hear, quoting from the book of Exodus, Joel continues, "For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing." He is recounting what was told to Moses when Moses descended from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and discovered the people fallen into the grave sin of idolatry, worshiping the golden calf. He threw the tablets down in anger. And then, ascending back up the mount, the dominant question in everybody's mind is, what will God do? Well, when Moses arrived back at the top, he began to intercede on behalf of the people. And as he was making that intercession, he also asked God to let him see his face. And God said, "No man can look upon my face and live." He says, "But you will be able to look at my back." And as he passed by, God spoke his name, the Lord, the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, rich in kindness, expressing and showing compassion to the thousandth generation. This was how God disclosed the disposition of his heart and his desire for his children. It is the desire of God to have friendship with us. He is love. It's nothing you and I have done to deserve this. We don't merit this. It's simply because God is love and he wants us to be a part of him. The Lenten season invites us to embrace the ancient traditions of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Jesus in the gospel tells us how not to pray, how not to fast, how not to give alms. And yet, does it not seem somewhat contradictory that he says we are to wash our faces and anoint ourselves with oil, and now what? We're going to have ashes impressed upon our heads in the form of a cross. What is this all about? The imposition of the ashes is an external sign that you and I have entered into this season of purification, that you and I are willing to announce to the world through this external sign that all is not right with the world. The world has troubles, it has problems, and we are choosing in this Lenten season to embrace these disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to do what? To detach ourselves from the attachment that we have to the ashes of a world that is passing away. And we are striving to put our faith and trust in the eternal word of God, which Jesus himself discloses. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. The season of Lent invites us to take the word of God as it truly is, the word of God, as a lamp for our path and a companion, a guide on the journey, to help us to realize the twofold dimension of the life of the church. It's both personal and communal. Hence, the clarion call of the prophet Joel, call an assembly from the youngest to the oldest, all are called to come together and hear this word, this life-giving word of God, a word that is meant to enable us to take our folk, to stop looking at ourselves and to look into ourselves, to examine our hearts, to see how have we contributed to the dysfunction of the world? How have I participated in adding more problems to a world gone wrong in sin? And with the help of God, I am prepared now to take responsibility for what I can take responsibility for, so as to put an end to the cycle of sin in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters. It is going to be imperative for us to, yes, embrace prayer and to be creative in how we choose time for prayer. What's going to be the key for us removing ourselves from the distractions that we are plagued with so often in our day-to-day lives? I was reading not long ago that many people, in order to get away, to be in a place, in a position where they can be free of distractions and interruptions, you know where they go? To the bathroom. Whether they have to use the restroom or not, that's where they retreat. Yes. Some people, they go to their cars. It becomes their mobile, like the monks live in the monasteries. They call their places where they retire for the evening. It's their own personal cell. Some people are driving in their cars, and that's where they find their time of being cut away from everything to be available to God, to hear God, to simply be and to allow God to work. We are called to perform deeds of sacrifice, of charity, deeds that speak of a willingness to be for the other. Let us perform these works and pray for the grace to not be tempted to look at how we are growing spiritually. Leave that to the one who sees everything that happens in the secret places of the heart. For us, let us be diligent about the works of charity, about praying for our brothers and sisters, neighbor and foe alike, with a heart that is like unto the Lord's, merciful, loving, compassionate, open to possibilities of what is now present to us, not about yesterday, not about tomorrow, even now. And we hear St. Paul in his second epistle to the Corinthians reminding us too, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so we return. We make our first movement tonight to return to God with full confidence, to place our trust in His word more than we place our trust in the ashes that will be imposed upon our heads, our foreheads, reminding us that one day you and I will die, and we will return to the one who gave us life. When that time comes, God alone knows. But in this meantime, this journey of Lent will lead us to the great season of Easter, where we will encounter the one who died and in so doing destroyed death and rose, restoring us to eternal life, the one who is able to call us by name, to raise us up from the ashes and restoring us to a glorified condition in which life and love have no end. God love you.